Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. Father, we know that you've called us out of this sinful world to bring us into your marvelous light. Open our eyes, Father, and our hearts, that we would receive the implanted word that you prepared for us this day. Truly, Father, we know that we have a sinful nature, but we ask, Father, that you would change that to a holy nature. As we seek to do that which is right in your sight, as we seek to overcome this life and Satan the devil, help us, Father, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and stand against this world. Help us, because we know that your people are different. Your people are ones who are walking in truth and the light of Yahshua the Messiah. Help us, Father, to overcome this world and to be faithful in all things. Truly, Father, we know that Satan is trying his best to destroy your people, to bring each one of us down so that we would be perish with him, because he knows that his end is near and his time is short. But, Father, strengthen your servants. Give us the victory as Yahshua has claimed the victory over Satan the devil. Help us to be faithful in all things, Father, in keeping your covenant law and in walking in your truth. We ask, Father, that you would again bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And, Father, we ask that you would lift them up and that you would help them overcome and that you would grant them the things that they have need of. Whatever their petition is, Father, we ask that you would hear and answer prayer according to your will. And we thank you, Father, for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And it's in his holy name we come before you at this time, seeking to a blessing, Father, seeking to overcome and to be with you in your kingdom when Yahshua returns. In Yahshua's holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. The battle is Yahweh's. The battle is not yours, it's Yahweh's. And he has defeated Satan already. We must constantly be on guard so as to not become a casualty of this war. The ground rules are already set, so pay attention so you're not caught unawares of what is happening around you. For our first scripture, our opening scripture, we're going to be in Psalm 121. Turn with me to Psalm 121. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountain. From where shall my help come? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Yahweh is your keeper. Yahweh is your shade upon your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Yahweh will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Yahweh will keep your going down and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So here, this is a song of ascent, as they would sing going up to Jerusalem, because whatever direction you went up on the mountain to Yahweh's house, okay, you had to go up to Jerusalem. You always had to go up to Jerusalem. See, because the mountain of Yahweh's house sat on Mount Moriah, Mount Zion. Again, I want you to understand that Yahweh is going to be there for his people. He is the one that's going to help us overcome this world and Satan the devil. Turn to Isaiah chapter 31. The battle is Yahweh's, brethren. In Isaiah 31, It says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek Yahweh. And we have to seek Yahweh when there is trouble in our lives, when there are problems that are surrounding us. We have to trust that Yahweh is going to be there for us. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not El, and their horses flesh and not spirit. And when Yahweh shall stretch out his hand, both he that helps shall stumble, and he that is helped shall fall, and they all shall be consumed together. If we rely on man or on horses, you know, for our deliverance, we're not going to be delivered. See? Because if we're trusting in flesh, we're going to fail. Our trust must be in Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. In verse 4 it says, for thus says Yahweh to me, as the lion and the young lion growling over its prey, if a multitude of shepherds are called forth against him, will not be dismayed at their voice, nor humble himself for the noise of them, so will Yahweh of hosts come down to fight upon Mount Zion and upon the hill of it. As birds hovering, so will Yahweh of hosts protect Jerusalem. He will protect and deliver it. He will pass over and preserve it. So Yahweh is telling us right here that he's going to be there for his people. Turn to him from whom you have deeply revolted, from where you have rebelled, O children of Israel. For in that day they shall cast away every man his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made to you for a sin. And the Assyrian shall fall by the sword, not of man, and the sword, not of men, shall devour him. And he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall become subject to taskwork. And his rock shall pass away by reason of terror, and his princes shall be dismayed at the ensign, the sign, says Yahweh, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. Almighty Yahweh is the one that is going to take the battle. He's going to take the battle to the enemy. And the battle is Yahweh's. It's not ours. See? It is not our battle. It's Yahweh's. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. It says, when you go forth to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more than you, you shall not be afraid of them. For Yahweh your Elohim is with you. Do we believe this, brethren? Do we have this confidence in Yahweh? We have to. When we come to this point in our lives where we see things going on around us that are troubling, you know, there are people who are going to, you know, have heart attacks, like what happened in 1920 when the stock market crashed, or 29. People jumped out of windows over money, okay? Our help is from Yahweh. We're not worried about material possessions. We're not worried about our health. We're not worried about the things that the people of this world are concerned with. You know why? Because we have a mighty one that can heal. We have a mighty one that can protect. We have a mighty one that will lift us up. It says in verse 2, well, finish, for Yahweh your Elohim is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you draw near to battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people and shall say to them, hear, O Israel, you Draw near this day to battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Fear not, nor tremble, neither be afraid of them. For Yahweh, your Elohim, is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. And the officers shall speak to the people, saying, what man is there that has built the new house and has not dedicated it? These are the people who are being disqualified for battle. And what man is there that has planted a vineyard and has not used the fruit of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he dies in the battle. And another man uses the fruit of it. And what man is there that has betrothed a wife and that has not taken her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle. And another man takes her. And the officers shall speak further to the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest his brother's heart melt as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking to the people, that they shall appoint captains of hosts at the head of the people. But they disqualify those that have issues, those that have married a wife, that have it, you know, the first year of marriage you're not supposed to be charged with any business. So therefore, you know, we don't ask the men that are newlyweds to do a whole lot in the ministry. But here, in this war, you know, they're disqualifying people based on if you have the vineyard and haven't drank the fruit of it or eaten the fruit of it, you know. So these things can disqualify people or take them out of the battle. But we know, it says there, that Yahweh goes forth and fights for us. He's the one that is actually going to take the battle to the enemy. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20, we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them some of the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And behold, they are Hazon Amar, the same as En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek Yahweh. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So the first thing he did is proclaim this fast, because he wanted to seek Yahweh intervention. And Judah gathered themselves together to seek help of Yahweh. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek Yahweh. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of Yahweh before the new court. And he said, O Yahweh, the Elohim of our fathers, are you not the Elohim in heaven? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? And your hand is power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Did you not, O our Elohim, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it to the seed of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwelt in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And that happened with Solomon. It said, if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, then he will hear and answer. And this is what Jehoshaphat is banking on. He says in verse 10, now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. Behold how they reward us to come cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our Elohim, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And all Judah stood before Yahweh with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Haziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Yael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, of the sons of Asaph, came the spirit of Yahweh in the middle of the assembly and said, "Listen, all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, in this manner says Yahweh to you, fear not, neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's Yahweh's, it's Elohim. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the ascent of Zeph, and you shall find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Yeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. You don't need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of Yahweh with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for Yahweh is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before Yahweh, worshiping Yahweh. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up and prayed to praise Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, with a very loud voice, because they knew they had deliverance. It hadn't happened yet, but they knew it, because Yahweh is with them. He was with them. See, they sought Yahweh by prayer and fasting, which is something that we need to do when we're under attack by the evil one. In verse 20, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in Yahweh your Elohim, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper.' And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed them that they should sing to Yahweh and give praise in holy array. As they went out before the army and say, 'Give thanks to Yahweh, for his loving kindness endures forever.' So they went out and sang to Yahweh. They praised his name. And when they began to sing and to praise, Yahweh set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another." So they ended up fighting themselves. Yahweh confused them to that extent that they ended up fighting their own people. Verse 24, "And when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked upon the multitudes, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth. And there were none that escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and all and his people came to take the plunder of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and dead bodies and precious jewels. And they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in taking the plunder. It was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed Yahweh. Therefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for Yahweh had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And I'm going to tell you that Yahweh will do this for each and every one of us in every one of our battles with the enemy. All we have to do is be faithful and believe and trust in him. And we have to do some prayer and fasting at times. Yahshua told us that when they were trying to cast out demons. And his disciples came to him and say, why is it we can't cast these demons out? He says, this kind come only out by prayer and fasting. And that's why it's important that we fast, because the bridegroom is not with us right now. But Yahshua is coming soon, brethren. And this is why we need to do it, to strengthen ourselves, because this is a spiritual battle that we're in. For Yahweh had made them to rejoice over their enemies, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets to the house of Yahweh, and the fear of Elohim was on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that Yahweh fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his Elohim gave him rest all around. What about us, brethren? Is Yahweh going to give us that rest? Do we have the confidence in Yahweh to put our faith in him? I hope so. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 7. It says, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not. They didn't win. They lost the war. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. Now that's important that we understand this, okay? The reason we have to understand this is because we have to know who our enemy is. See? You have to know who your enemy is to defeat him. Go back to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1 now. Go back to verse 1. It says, and there was a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cries out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems, 7 crowns. And his tail draws the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered, and that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught away to Elohim and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has placed a place prepared of Elohim, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days, 1,260 days. 3.5 years. Drop down to verse 10. Same chapter. It says, and I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our Elohim day and night. And Satan does accuse Yahweh's people all the time, day and night before Yahweh. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. It's only through Yahshua's blood that we have the victory, brethren. and because of the word of their testimony. And they love not their life even to death. Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the earth and for the sea, because the devil has gone down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. And he only has a short time, brethren. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman and brought forth the man, that brought forth the man-child. And there was given to the woman the two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time, the 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon became exceedingly angry with the woman and went away to make war with the remnant of her seed that keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold the testimony of Yahshua. That's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. That sets us apart from the Christians. It sets us apart from the Jews. It sets us apart from Islam or the Hindus, because we're keeping the covenant, the commandments of Yahweh, and holding the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah. That's what sets us apart. There's a war going on for you. Where are you going to end up? Are you going to be like Jehoshaphat and call on Yahweh and fast and pray to show him that you are sincere and that you love him? We started out in Psalm 121, but we read Psalm 116 for our devotion. And it says, I love Yahweh because he hears my supplications. And Yahweh does hear the prayers of the saints. He doesn't hear sinners. He hears the saints who were sinners, repented sinners. They've made that change, which we all have to do, brethren. That's why we went through this Passover observance and Feast of Unleavened Bread, to purify ourselves, to become Yahweh's people. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, starting verse 1. Now, I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of the Messiah, I who in your presence am lowly among you, but being absent, am of good courage towards you. Yes, I beseech you that I may not be when present show courage with the confidence with which I count to be bold against some who count of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before Yahweh, to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of Yahweh, and bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of the Messiah. And that's something that we have to do, brethren. We have to be able to bring every thought into captivity. This is why we talked about in the Bible study throughout the feast about the words. These words that were given, there's a warfare just in our words. Words can give life or death. See? Satan corrupted the words of Yahweh in the garden. And he started to turn man against Yahweh. And that's why we have to understand where our trust lies, who we believe, who we worship. Verse 6. And being in readiness to avenge all disobedience, when your obedience shall be made full, you look at the things that are before your face. If any man trusts in himself that he is in the Messiah, let him consider this again with himself, that even as he is in the Messiah, so also are we. For though I should glory somewhat abundantly concerning our authority, which Yahweh gave for the building you up and not for casting you down. See, this is why you have to understand where your teachings are coming from. Paul is telling you that this is for the building of you up. Because we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places, brethren. Which Yahweh gave for the building you up and not for casting you down. I shall not be put to shame, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is of no count. Let such a one reckon this, that we who are in word by letters when we are absent, such are we also indeed when we are present. For we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves, but they themselves measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves are without understanding. And when you think about it, that's exactly what has happened. Too many people think they are a lot more than they are. They glory beyond measure. But we will not glory beyond measure, but according to the measure of the providence which Yahweh appointed to us as a measure can reach even to you. See, Yahweh is the one that has given us the ability to communicate one to another. It's through his word. See? His word. It's not corrupted. When you think about it, when you look at the word of Yahweh, and you study the word of Yahweh, and you implement the word of Yahweh in your life, it's pure. It's when Satan gets in and starts to say to Eve, like he did Yahweh not say that you could not eat from all the trees of the garden or whatever? And she says, no, that one in the middle, we can't eat, touch, or whatever. But, oh, then he comes with his spin. And that's what we have to be wary of, brethren. We have to be able to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Because Satan knows the scriptures, and he's going to come at you. But what did Joshua do when Satan tempted him? He told him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. By every word. And that's what we have to do as well. Because Satan is going to come after you. We've had a lot of teaching. We have a lot of food, this feast of unleavened bread that we just observed. Okay? But the battle is Yahweh's because it's on. Trust me, Satan is going to attack. He's going to come after you. He's going to come after you. But you need to be able to say the battle is Yahweh's. It's not mine. All I have to do is call Yahweh. All I have to do is be faithful, and he's going to overcome. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? By no means. However, I had not known sin except through the law. For I had not known coveting except the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, finding occasion, worked in me through the commandment all manner of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. And I was alive apart from the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to life, this I found to be to death. For sin, finding occasion through the commandment, deceived me. That's what Satan does. He deceives. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to bring all of Yahweh's people down. And through it killed me, so that the law is holy and the commandment holy and righteous and good. See? The law is holy. It's not a burden. Yahshua said, my burden is light. It's not a burden, brethren. did in verse 13, then that which is good become death to me, by no means, but sin, that it might be shown to be sin by working death to me through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become very sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I know not, for not what I would, that I do I practice, but what I hate, that I do. But if what I would not, that I do, I consent to the law that it is good. So now it is no more that I do it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, no good thing dwells. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. For the good which I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I practice. And Yahweh didn't want us to know evil. He didn't want Adam and Eve to know evil. That's why he told them not to touch that fruit in the middle of the garden. But they, oh, what is he hiding? See, that's what Satan does. He brings these thoughts up in your mind. Oh, he doesn't want you to know this because, and that's all Satan did. All he did is whispered in the ear and said, you know what? What is it he doesn't want you to know? You know, because if you eat from that tree, your eyes are going to be open. But Yahweh didn't want us to know evil, brethren. And this is what he's talking about here. Paul is talking about. It says, for the good which I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I practice. But if what I would not, that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. And I find then the law that to me would do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man, but I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? I thank Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah, our master. So then I, of myself, with the mind, indeed serve the law of Yahweh, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But guess what? We have the victory over that law of the flesh through Yahshua the Messiah, but we have to accept that. That's why we need to be repentant. As Peter said in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because we need that Holy Spirit to overcome. We need that Holy Spirit to help us to win this battle that is going on. Turn to James 4, or Jacob 4. Verse 1, it says, from where come wars, and from where come fightings among you? Come they not from here, even from your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whoever therefore would be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Yahweh. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks in vain? Does the Spirit which he made to dwell in us long to envy? But he gives more grace. Therefore the Scripture says, Yahweh resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore be subject to Yahweh, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But how many of us actually resist the devil? That's the key here, brethren. We have to learn to resist him. See? We can't open our ears and listen to what he has to say And then, oh, question Yahweh's commandments. See? Immediately, when he starts to whisper to you, we have to turn him off. We have to resist him. Verse 8, draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw near to you. That's what we have to do, brethren. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall exalt you. I like verse 11. See? Yaakov or Jacob, James in the King James Version, he says, speak not one against another. Brethren, he that speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Only one is the lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judges your brother? And that happens too often, where we have something to say about our brother and that we don't need to do it. We need to be more faithful and try to lift our brother up. Because if we can't love our brother whom we see, we definitely don't know Yahweh whom we don't see. See? Because that's who we see. We see each other. And we have to spend that time. That's where Yahshua gets us. Because we have to overcome this world by loving our enemy. And that's where Yahshua gets us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 11. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I entreat you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts, and which war against the soul, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that in what they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify Yahweh in the day of visitation. And that's what we want to happen. We want people who are judging us wrongfully to glorify Yahweh in the day of visitation. We want them to praise Yahweh. It says in verse 13, be subject to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent by him for vengeance on evildoers. And for praise to them that do well. For so is the will of Yahweh, that by well-doing you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, not using your freedom for a cloak of maliciousness, but as bondservants of Yahweh. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, and honor the king. Drop down to verse 21. It says, to this were you called, because the Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, no lies, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. That's what Yahshua did. Yahshua did not point the finger. He did not condemn. He did not revile. He didn't go after him and says, you did this to me, so I'm going to do this to you. No, he accepted it. He accepted it. He didn't threaten. He committed himself to him that judges righteously, which is Yahweh, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree. In verse 24, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. I'm telling you, the battle belongs to Yahweh. It's Yahweh's. It's not ours. Because we wouldn't win it if it was ours. We have to trust in Yahweh completely. The battle is not yours. It's Yahweh's. He's already defeated Satan. He's already given us the victory through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. But the question is, brethren, with that victory, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 16. This is the angel of the assembly in Pergamum. In verse 16 it says, "Repent therefore, or else I come to you quickly, and I will make war against them that with the sword of my mouth." He that has an ear, let him hear to what the Spirit says to the assembly. To him that overcomes, to him I will give the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knows but he that receives it. Almighty Yahweh is preparing a people for him, a people who are going to have the victory over this world and Satan because they are willing to follow the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. The battle, again, is not ours, brethren. It's Yahweh's. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13. Verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who is able to war with him?" And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months, that 3.5-year period, crops up again. And he opened his mouth for blasphemies against Yahweh, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, even them that dwell in heaven. See, he's throwing out these blasphemies against Yahweh. The war is still raging. In verse 7, and it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that has been killed. So he has been given the authority to do this. If any man has an ear, let him hear. If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goes. If any man shall kill with the sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14. We're at war, brethren, but the battle is Yahweh. All we have to do is remain faithful. He's given us his Holy Spirit, which will get us through these battles, because we're battling against principalities in high places, spiritual wickedness. See, it's not just about flesh and blood. That would be easy. That would be easy. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Behold, a day of Yahweh comes when your plunder shall be divided in the middle of you. For I will gather all nations unto Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations, as he fought in the day of battle." Yahweh's going to go forth and fight for his people. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall divide in the middle of it toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. It's going to be an earthquake, a great earthquake. And you shall flee by the valley of my mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee like as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And Yahweh, my Elohim, shall come, and all the holy ones with you. And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall not be light. The bright ones shall withdraw themselves. But it shall be one day which is known to Yahweh, not day and not night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time there shall be light. And it shall come to pass in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth in that day. Shall Yahweh be one and his name one. And all the land shall be like the Arba, from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And she shall be lifted up, and shall dwell in her place, from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel, to the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more curse, but Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this shall be the plague with which Yahweh will strike all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. A nuclear blast just like wipes away, and there's nothing left but a skeleton. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Yahweh shall be among them, and they shall lay hold, every one, on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight against Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the nations all around shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel, in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in those camps, as that plague. Revelation chapter 16. Remember, the battle is Yahweh's. It's not our battle, brethren. The battle is Yahweh's. He's going to be the victor. Revelation 16, verse 12. Revelation 16, 12. It says, and the sixth poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and the water of it dried up, that the way might be made ready for the kings that come from the sunrising. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits, as it were frogs. And they are the spirits of demons working signs, which go forth to the kings of the whole world to gather them together to the war of the great day of Yahweh, the Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Isn't that what Adam said to Yahweh when he came down? He hid. And he told Yahweh he hid because he was naked. Yahweh said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? See, man wants to know more than he needs to know. Yahweh did not want to reveal evil to his people. He only wanted to give us the good. But Satan came in there and whispered in their ear and said, you know what? He don't want you to know this. Because at the time you eat of that tree, your eyes are going to be open, see? That's why we have to beware. This battle is not about flesh. It's about spirit. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places, brethren. Satan is trying to take you down. as quickly as he can. So when he comes to you and he starts to whisper to you, resist him with the word of Yahweh, and he'll flee far from you. In verse 16 it says, and they gathered them together into the place which is called in Hebrew Har Megadon. We know what's going to happen there. There's going to be the war to end all wars, and then the people are going to be destroyed. For our closing scripture, turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'm telling you, brethren, the battle is Yahweh's. It's not ours. We have to prepare to be in the kingdom. Psalm 119, the Shin section, verse 161 to 168. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word as one that finds great plunder. I hate and abhor falsehood, but your law do I love. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Great peace have they that love your law, and they have no occasion of stumbling. I have hoped for your salvation, O Yahweh, and have done your commandments. My soul has observed your testimonies, and I love them very much. I have observed your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. So for us, all our ways are before Yahweh if we're keeping his covenant law. Again, the battle is not yours. It's Yahweh's, and he has defeated Satan already. We must constantly be on guard so as to not become a victim or a casualty of this war. See, because the war is going on. Yahweh's already got the victory through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. But the ground rules are already set, and we know we have to keep the covenant, brethren. So pay attention so you're not caught unaware. Or what is happening around you. Because we know Satan is setting traps. He's trying to devour Yahweh's people through sin. So we know how to overcome, how to win this war, just to be faithful and keep Yahweh's commandments. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you keep the covenant law that Almighty Yahweh has given us. And I thank you. At this time, if you'd all please stand, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we come before you at this time, thanking and praising your name. We thank you, Father, for the victory that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for the Lamb of Yahweh, who takes away the sin of the world, Yahshua the Messiah, Father. He has given us of his life. Through his sacrifice, he has helped us come and win the battle, win the war with Satan the devil. But we have to remain to the end. We have to be faithful to the end, because truly, he is still trying to take your people away. He's trying to deceive your people, to cause us to slip and to fall and to follow him. But help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. Help us to overcome this life and Satan the devil by keeping your covenant law, that we would resist him and he would flee far from us. Father, we love you and we thank you for all you've done for us. And when we call upon your name and praise your name, as we pray to you, Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers and that you would continually give us the victory over the evil one. So, Father, as we continue to keep your covenant law, to keep your holy Sabbath day holy, to do that which is right in your sight,
Lift us up and keep us, Father, in the hollow of your hand and in your bosom. Protect us and cover us with the protection that you've given us through the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We thank you again for all the blessings you bestowed upon us for our life, health, and strength. And it's in Yahshua's holy name that we pray at this time, seeking to be a part of your soon coming kingdom. And we know, Father, that we can overcome this world and Satan the devil, because the battle is yours, it's not ours. And it's in Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For our closing song, we're going to sing number 6. And Willie, I would like you to get a benediction. You can choose a benediction to close services after our song. We're going to sing "The Battle Belongs to Yahweh," number 6. Let me unmute him. That might help. Sorry about that, Willie. Got you muted.